the light that's shining in the darkness right now. There's only one light shining. That's the Word of God.
That's right.
And the Word of God particularly that shines in the darkness when we're wondering about terrorism and the war on terrorism and about Iraq and about Iran, the light that shines in the darkness is the prophet, the prophets of the Old Testament.
Amen.
You can be a light in dark places. Join Gloria Copeland and her guest Billy Brim as they share how to be led by the Holy Spirit. Next, here on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Billy and I are going to let you in on our Bible study today, and you're going to like it. Hallelujah. We need to know what's going on. We need to know the time. We need to know the day we're living in and what God has to say about it. Billy Brim, our good friend from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks, is here today to tell you what the Bible says about the last days.
What's going to happen?
What's going to happen?
What's going to happen in 2008?
And the Jewish people say the end of times.
The end of days.
Yes, the end of days. That's what the Bible says, the end of days. And why it says that, and we're going to put up something for you to see on this. Whenever the Old Testament, we say the Bible, the Tanakh, the Jews say, whenever it speaks of what is translated in our King James Bible or others as the latter times or the latter days or the end of day, it's actually in the Hebrew, the end of days. What does that mean, the end of days? Is it the end of time? No. We said yesterday that you're going to be in the supermarkets and you're going to be going past the tabloids and they're going to have little things that say, 2008, will it be the end of time? No, it won't be the end of time. Will it be the end of the world? No, it won't be the end of the world, but it will be the end of the world as we know it is coming on. The age, the end of the age is coming on. But why does the Bible say the end of days? Now, this comes from the oral law of the Jews. Mm-hmm. You know, when Moses went up on that mountain, he actually went up into the heavenlies. And there he received from God the written Torah. And he also received things that God said to him. He taught those things to Joshua. Joshua taught it to the next. And that was the oral tradition. It was added to. As time went on and history went on, they orally added it to. You know, my husband and your husband, Cherokee Indians. And so we do a lot of study about the Cherokees. And the way that they kept their history was orally. They kept the oral tradition. This is what they said. And so that had a part of it, too. They added to it the oral tradition, but also from the beginning now, it was spoken about the days. And it was spoken that since Adam, man has a work week, a six-day work week. Then there will be the seventh day, the millennium of the Shabbat kingdom, the Shabbat rest. And those 6 days, 1,000 years equals a day, and a day equals 1,000 years. We see that in Psalm, and we see that in Peter, 2 Peter. It's told us both places that 1,000 years equals a day and a day 1,000 years. Now, I'm having them put up a chart for you to see. And on that chart, right here, Gloria, it is. On that chart, the first 2 days or the first 2,000 years are called the days of chaos. That's from Adam until the law came, actually until Abraham came. And then the law is going to come. But man just did what was right in his own eyes. Then the law came. And after written, oh, just think of it. They got the written word of God. Woo, what a blessing from heaven. Then we have the 2 days of Torah. And then on the end of the fourth day is to come the Mashiach, the Messiah. And we know he did come. And then begin the 2 days that are called the latter days. These are former days. These are the latter days. These are the end of days. Acts chapter 2, when Peter talked, he said, this is the last days, the latter days. Well, it was the beginning of the latter days. Now 2,000 years has almost taken place. We live at the end of the end of the 6 days. Which would be the end of 6,000 years.
End of 6,000 years since Adam, as we know him, man as we know him. And then we do know that the Bible's full with promises.
That is just awesome.
It's awesome. I'm so glad we live now. But, you know, bless the Lord, we have to keep our eyes on the light.
That's right.
Because it's darkest just before the dawn.
That's right.
And it's pretty dark in the world right now. But it's going to be light
And we're going to look at that light. We're going to look at that light. We're going to look this week prophetically even at Christmas. And then when we come back in January, we're going to be here in January. I've forgotten what the dates are, but I think it's the 14th through the 18th. We're going to be back here and we're going to be looking at what could happen in 2008. What the Bible's predicting for right now. Because the Bible tells us, we're going to read that scripture in a minute, that the Old Testament prophets are a light shining in a dark place. So we're going to look at Bible prophecy.
And there's no question, Billy, oh great and learned one, that we are in the end of days.
There is no question. There is no question in the Jews' minds. There is no question. We recently had a meeting here at your place here. We have it every year, the Days of Refreshing. Mm-hmm. And we have a dear Jewish friend who is very religious. And he was helping me out with some of my things, and I asked him to come to the front and write on the board and do some things. And I said, you know, he's standing there with his beard and his very religious ways. And I said, this is my dear friend, and he's Jewish. And I said, we don't agree on a lot of things. And he piped up and said, we agree on a lot more than we disagree.
That's exactly right.
And his particular group that he's a part of, you know, we've got...
I didn't hear him say that.
Yeah, he said that. You should go back and listen to that. It's so great. But it's truth. And the group that he is a part of is really looking for the coming of the Messiah. And we're looking for the coming of the Messiah.
That's right.
Now, Ronnie Levy always tells this story. When Menachem Begin was the prime minister, and a group of Christian ministers had come in, and they wanted to get argumentative over this. And Prime Minister Begin said, brethren, he did say brethren. He said, let's not argue over this. He said, when the Messiah comes, we'll simply ask him the question, sir, have you visited our country before?
That's right. That's exactly right.
So
and he'll get the right answer.
Yeah. And, you know, I get with some of my Jewish friends.
Oh, listen, I would love, I've read the Art Scroll books. And
yes.
The Hebrew commentaries and so on a lot. I'd love to just sit and talk to them. They have so much insight into the things of God.
And another thing, they've been studying it for years and years and years and years. And another thing, Gloria, now that they're come back to the land, they believe, and I believe it too, that when they come back to the land, that spirit of prophecy grows bigger within them. And they see things and they see light. And I love to go and sit with some of my Jewish brothers, I call them, and talk about things that we can agree on. The parts we don't agree on, we don't talk about. I wish I could do that with some of my Christian brothers.
That's right. You don't have
some
to agree
of them,
on. Talk about what you do agree on.
Some of them, if you don't agree on this one little spot over here, chink, that does it for you. You're out.
You're in gross darkness.
Bless the Lord.
So. Oh, the Lord is good. And he's revealing himself to everybody.
He is revealing himself to everyone.
All
he wants everyone. That's the point of signs.
That's right.
And that's what we're going to talk about. That's the point of prophecy. That's the point of
that's
signs
right.
of the times. So that men can see that he is God.
And we can learn from each other.
Yeah. Now, here's what Lester Sumrall said.
Right,
you know, we've been
us.
Reading out of one of his books here. He said, how can we know the Bible is true? The answer is simple. We know the scriptures are true because they predict and predict and predict one event after another. Then all of these predictions come to pass.
That's
in
right.
this way, we understand the Bible to be the Word of God, not just a newspaper or a textbook.
Yeah.
It's prophecy. And Brother Sumrall said, and we read it yesterday, 1/4 of the Bible is prophecy. That means 1 out of every 4 words is a prophetic word. Most of them have been fulfilled, but the others are going to be fulfilled, and they're being fulfilled right before our eyes, to tell you the truth.
Like Jeremiah, that all came to pass.
It all came
That's
to pass.
It's a done deal.
It's a done deal. Hallelujah, except the part that didn't come to pass, which will come to pass.
Yeah.
30 and 31, 32.
Most all of it has
Most
come
all
to
of
pass,
it has come to pass.
I should say. Thank you for correcting
me. Well,
that.
You know.
Appreciate it.
You know, people say, Gloria. Aside
what do they
here.
Say?
They say that we love the way you and Gloria are back and forth with each other. And I said, what we're doing on there is what we do down
That's
the house.
That's exactly right.
And now here you are, and you're in on it with us, and you just put in your 2 cents worth.
Yeah.
We won't be able to hear you there, but chime it in anyway. I do that. I talk to the TV.
Oh, yeah.
I prophesy to it and everything. Especially the news.
Oh, it needs it. It needs it.
No, you don't do that in Jesus' name. Now, one here's Lester Sumrall again. One of the greatest verses in the Bible is John 14:29. Here Jesus is speaking and he says, I have told you before it comes to pass, so that when it comes to pass, you might believe. And that's the way God is.
That's the way God does.
That is what he does. Now, if you'll turn into your Bible too, and surely you don't come to this program without your Bible, but 2 Timothy 2:15, we read the words, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The Bible's called the word of truth. That's quite a bit different, Lester says, than what many people think. Lots of folks study to make themselves successful or to make more money. They study so they might have a keen mind, be able to answer people's questions. They study sometimes to preach sermons. But the Bible says we are to study so we can be approved of God. Isn't that amazing? We should study in order to be approved
of
God.
Right.
I heard Brother Hagin say, conversely, if you don't study, it doesn't meet with God's approval.
Well, you couldn't possibly. If you didn't study, you couldn't possibly know how God operates.
No.
Because it's totally unnatural to the natural man.
Right. You have to renew your
mind. It's a higher way. The Bible calls it a higher way.
A higher way.
Higher way. And so you couldn't possibly know, but we can study.
We can study.
We've
Hallelujah.
Got a Bible.
And that's what we're doing right now. And you're coming in on this study group this week. In other words, if you don't have time to be diligent in God's word, Lester says, then you won't have the approval of God on your life.
That's right.
Are you listening? How many of you actually love the word of God?
I do.
Mm-hmm.
Me? I just love it. Just let me alone with my books and my Bible and I'm happy.
I know. Now, here's what Lester said, and I believe this. I underlined it. I yellowed it. I underlined it.
I do that too. Double thing.
Double
emphasis here. We're two of a kind, Billy.
I know it. If we do not understand and master the doctrines of eschatology, that means study of the end things, and the dispensations, we will not rightly divide the scriptures.
That's right.
I'm going to read you that again. If we do not understand and master the doctrines of eschatology, I do eschatology seminars, and people say, why don't you pick another word to name it? They can't even learn the meaning of the word. That's too difficult.
This is the first lesson.
Do you remember Dr. Duncan?
Yeah.
You remember
Duncombe?
Him? Duncombe. Mm-hmm. That's right. He was from London, England.
Yes, I
know you remember how beautiful it was when he would give a prophecy. Man, you thought the Bible itself was come alive.
Uh-huh.
When you and I were first coming in 1967, Dr. Charles Duncombe was one of our teachers, and he was, I love to hear him prophesy. Well, his wife had a job editing Christian literature. And they told her to make everything to be understood by a 12-year-old. And Dr. Duncombe thought that was terrible. He said, are we never to advance the body of Christ past 12 years old?
I can see his point.
Well, you do need to make things that are understandable. But then, and there are things that a 12-year-old can surely get out of the Word of God. But there are things that you need to eat
Billy,
the meat of the Word.
This is totally off the subject. But we've had some great people in our lives. Haven't we been blessed with the people that we got to meet before they went on? And
that's right.
Here.
And they taught us and placed within us and moved in the gift of prophecy.
That's right.
He did. He moved in the gift of prophecy. And we got to see prophecy and people. Oh, Gloria, you and I have seen some things and some moves of God that we have to see again.
That's right.
Bless the Lord in a greater degree.
Amen.
Now, Lester says here, if we do not understand and master the doctrines of eschatology and the dispensations, we will not rightly divide the scripture. Prophecy is a marvelous word from God, and we must study it in order to understand it. The Bible is not just for us to pick up casually and read it as a casual thing. Have you come to the part in your studies in the Old Testament? We've been studying a lot about when the temple was destroyed. And then, of course, things are restored back now. I'm glad we live in the time of restoration when the Jews are coming home. But it was a hard time then. And God said, because you treated me casually, I treated you casually.
I think I just read that recently.
Yeah, I read it recently, and well, you should look it up for tomorrow.
Oh, that's a good way to say it, too.
I know. He said, and Lester says here, the Bible is not just for us to pick up casually and read as a casual thing, you know, like a flop and stop every single day. Mm-hmm. A flop and stop works every once in a while when God wants to guide you, but not every single day. Instead, the Bible is God's textbook, and it is placed upon this earth to guide us from here to the pearly gates. It's God's roadmap, telling us to go in a particular direction so we'll make it safely home.
Amen.
And you know that roadmap business. That roadmap business for Israel is a bad road. They call it the roadmap. We have a roadmap all about what to do about Israel, and it's in these.
And it's not the same.
And it's not the same. Mm-mm. As the one that divides
the blessing is on God's roadmap, though.
Yes. I just love how forceful, speaking of people in our lives, he was forceful. You know, he came up under Brother Wigglesworth.
That's right.
And so there was a forcefulness and a power in Lester.
He was a powerful guy.
Yeah. They still air his things on television. I watch them. I enjoy them. Prophecy, he says, is a heritage for us. It's a heritage handed down to us by God. You can't kill the Bible. You can't destroy the Bible. Empires have risen for thousands of years and opposed God's book, but they can't destroy this volume. I thought this was so funny.
Good.
Look at Hitler. He attempted to destroy it, but he's gone. Look at Stalin. He hated the Bible, but he's dead and in hell. An atheist in France said that in 100 years there wouldn't be a single Bible in his nation. But I visited his house, which is now owned by the British Foreign Society. And from basement to the attic, it's loaded with Bibles.
That's great.
God has a way of mocking man when he comes against his word. So we study prophecy as a part of our heritage so we will know how to live, how to die, how to reach heaven.
That's right.
How to reach the next stage and the place God has for us. Now listen to this. Now, he died 1996. I think that's what it says back here in the back of this book. He was born in 1913. So make your mind go back to 1913. And it really, at the beginning, there wasn't any nation of Israel yet. 1913, we had had the Jews begin to come home in the Zionist movement at the end of 1897. We also had had the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, you know, here in America. 1906 in Azusa Street. But listen to him. When I was a little boy, there was great controversy. Will there ever be a Jewish nation? All the modern churches said, no, it's impossible. Because the Jews are located all over the world. You can't possibly expect them to return to their native land.
And God knew that, and he used the word scattered.
Yes, that's
but
right.
But then he knew another word that was gathered.
Yeah, he said he would do it. And if you read the word and you believed it, you'd have to know that
you'd
would happen.
You'd know that they would be gathered again.
They were speculating. But the Bible says they will come back. Well, those speculators are all dead now. And the Jews have a nation in the promised land.
That's true.
Just as Bible prophecy predicted.
Praise God.
Now, he said, prophecy can be abused by false prophets. And we're loaded with them, you know.
That's why you have
God told me this and God told me that. But he said, prophecy is a collective message for all of us. Bless the Lord.
Amen.
And so we're going to look at Bible prophecy. We're going to look at it in January.
You know, there's a lot of peace that comes when you know what the Bible says about the days you live in and so on.
Absolutely.
You know that this just didn't slip up on God.
Let's go back to that.
Take him unawares.
Let's go back to that scripture, Isaiah 60, and you read what you found, the definition of gross.
Isaiah 60.
Okay. Isaiah 60. See, this is prophecy. This is a word before it happens.
This would be Isaiah 60.
Telling you what's going to be like in the end of days.
1 and 2.
Yeah.
And the prophet says, Isaiah says, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Upon thee, that would be upon his God's people. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth.
See, he told us that was going to happen.
And gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And Gentiles, or the nations, shall come to your light. So I looked up today. Billy mentioned that scripture to me last night at the house. And I thought, that is exactly the way this world is right now. The world is in gross darkness. The world doesn't know. The world, you know, without God, they think adultery is no big deal. And they think sex before marriage is no big deal. It's, you know, everybody does that. That's the way the world thinks. That's gross darkness. Now, here's the word. The definition of gross I looked up today is coarse. And tell me if you don't think this fits a lot of secular television broadcasts,
movies,
books, all kind of
MTV
publications. Coarse, rough, vulgar, indelicate, obscene, impure, very wrong. The dictionary actually said that definition. Very wrong, glaring, flagrant, as a gross mistake. Thick, dense, not sensitive in perception or feeling, stupid and dull. Now, to me, that's a good description of the world out there that lives
absolutely
in darkness. You see things on TV. You see politicians say things, do things, especially in the areas that Billy's talking about where the Jews are concerned. And you think, how could they be that way? How could they think that way in the light of the Scripture? And this is it. Darkness, darkness. We've got to have people that have their eyes illuminated. And we need to pray for our leaders so that they hear from God and they see from God and they're not walking in gross darkness.
Well, how do you not walk in gross darkness? And this is an answer to it right here. 2 Peter 1:19-21. We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well to take heed as unto a light that shines in a dark place. He's talking about the Old Testament prophets. He said they are a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise. In your hearts, knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That means the light that's shining in the darkness right now. There's only one light shining. That's the Word of God.
That's right.
And the Word of God particularly that shines in the darkness when we're wondering about terrorism and the war on terrorism and about Iraq and about Iran. The light that shines in the darkness is the prophets of the Old Testament.
Amen.
The prophets, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel.
It's a light
shining in a dark place. And so we're going to help you this week, and then that week we come back, look at the light shining in a dark place.
Glory to God. It's going to be good. You don't want to miss it. Billy and I'll be right back.
In all of the earth, from every land across every continent, God has put His unique mark on only one place. He has specially chosen only one land. The land is Israel. The people are the Jews, and the promise is an eternal covenant. Israel, the people, the land, and the promise is a unique video documentary that will take you on a journey of discovery to the land of Israel. With Dr. Billy Brim as your teacher and guide, you'll learn why Israel is like no other place in the world, why today it remains at the center of the world's attention, why thousands of years of biblical and world history can be found in Israel. What mysteries and biblical prophecies are unfolding in this land of promise? And why God has specially chosen the Jewish people? Your journey of a lifetime begins today. Unlock the secrets of God's ancient land. Israel, the people, the land, the promise. To request your copy of Israel, the people, the land, the promise, log on to our website at kcm.org and order online. The cost for this eye-opening DVD by Billy Brim is just $30. To request your copy by phone, call us toll-free, 800-575-4455, or write to us at Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. Don't miss your opportunity to have this powerful documentary. Order Israel, the People, the Land, the Promise today.
Our offer today is a documentary that Billy and her ministry have prepared on Israel, the people, and the land, and the promise. And so I want you to tell us, Billy, why we need to see that.
Oh, I tell you, I looked forward to that trip. We took a trip this Rosh Hashanah. That means new, the head of the year. Now, we're going into the head of our year. We're going in our calendar that we follow January 1st. Mm-hmm. But on the God calendar, the new year began Rosh Hashanah September 12th through 14th. And the Lord had led me to take a group over there for that. It's called the Feast of Trumpets. And so I took 85 people. We went throughout that land. We spent 2 full weeks in a seminar tour teaching and looking at prophecy. Not only what has happened in Israel, but what's going to happen there in the future. And we took all of those hours and hours and hours, and we had a professional do it for us and bring it down into a 1-hour documentary, which is going to be seen on some television networks. But we can offer it to you. And I'm very excited about this, that you would see as we look at prophecy from the land which God yes. said, Jesus said, you watch the fig tree and you watch the other trees, the other nations. And we did it. It's right up to date, and you can get it in a well-produced.
It's about the end of days.
It's about the end of days.
You say, hallelujah. So you want to be sure and get that and learn and let Billy. And you may want to go on one of those. See if you want to go on one of those with her. Get this DVD. See if you want to go on another. She always is doing tours in the land, and people love it. Now, the Luke 2:10 says, the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. We're at a time of joy. We're celebrating the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ in just a few days. Jesus is not in the manger anymore. He's alive. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he's standing ready to work his dream out in you and through you. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, don't wait another day. We are in the last days. We are in the end of days. And certainly you're in the last days in your life. Should even Jesus tarry a while, you've got to get ready for your homegoing and you want to go to the right place. Just make him the Lord of your life. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. I give you my life. Take my life and do something with it. I know that prayer works. That's what I pray.
That's what you pray.
Take my life and do something with it.
Oh,
he wants you. You need to make a change. If you want to change, make a change. And if you've never done that action of giving yourself over to the Lord Jesus Christ, do it today. This is Gloria and Billy reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
If you made Jesus your Lord and Savior today, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland welcome you to the family of God. They've put together a 5-book package to help you get started learning your Bible and understanding who you are in Christ Jesus. Request your free salvation package online when you log on to kcm.org. This is the year of the open door. Take hold of the promises of God and walk through the open door of the blessing this year. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you on the next Believer's Voice of Victory. Take the time to intentionally immerse yourself in God's Word and allow it to transform your life. Dive in at the 2008 Branson Victory Campaign. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland for 3 days of soaking in God's Word March 6th to the 8th at the new location of Faith Life Church, 3701 State Highway 76 in Branson, Missouri. Visit kcm.org or call 800-600-7395.